We're so glad you're here today. This time I'd like for Dr. O'Carry to come up and introduce our guest who has come a long way to be with us.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to come here and introduce our guest speaker, our visitor from all the way from Nigeria. I have known him, God knows, probably for more than 35 years. I grew up with him in the same small little village in Nigeria. He's somebody that has a great reputation, a celebrity in the Lord. He has spoken in many churches in Nigeria. God has used him extensively, especially in the rural parts of the country. He has worked with Horizon International Medical Mission for at least 10 years. He has worked with Sycamore Church for at least the past 4 or 5 years and helping us reach to the people in the rural part of the world and bringing souls to Christ. He has been a very special interpreter for Dusty. The rest of the story will reserve. So it is my pleasure today to introduce Cyril Ugwebulam. Don't worry about the last name. Just call him CY, that would be enough. So CY, want to come forward?
Thank you, Dr. O'Carry.
Now you see the smile on his face. This man, he loves to have a good time. And just so you'll know it, he has thrown me under the bus many times. Yes, go ahead and clap. As he was translating for me over there in Igbo and throwing me under the bus over and over again. One night, and I have to tell you this one before he speaks. It's a real gift to be able to translate for someone. And especially when you're preaching. And God has given to CY, he speaks multiple languages. He's given him a great gift for that. He's a businessman. He is a traveling evangelist. He's a preacher. But God has gifted him in marvelous ways. And so we immediately hit it off and got good rhythm there. And we're preaching. We're at the Iagua Baptist Church. The place is packed, and we're going along real good, and then all of a sudden I say something, and he looks at me. And I say it again, and he looks at me again, shakes his head. And I say it a third time, and then he looks at the congregation, and he says something, of course, in Igbo, and everyone starts laughing. I mean, they're rolling in the aisles, and I look at Dr. O'Carry, and he's really laughing. I said, "Oh man!" And I looked at CY, and I said, "You threw me under the bus, didn't you?" And so afterwards, my dear friend Dr. O'Carry comes up to me, says, "You don't know what he said." I said, "I know I don't know what he said." He said, "When he couldn't understand what he said, what you were saying, he said to the congregation, 'I don't know what the white man's talking about now.'" So this man has the humor of the Lord with him and a special anointing in that way. So give me just a minute to get him hooked up here and then we'll turn him loose.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Somebody give me J. Give me E. Give me S. Give me U. Give me another S, and can we rise up and shout the name Jesus Christ? Can we rise up and shout the name Jesus? Amen. Definitely this afternoon we are going to match the worship service, Nigeria cum American system. Amen. You know, one thing that is peculiar with Nigerians, we worship God with total demonstration of our hearts. Amen? Amen? And like when Dr. Dusty came to Nigeria, at the stage when he saw how Nigerians are dancing, he started demonstrating also. Amen. Amen. I want us to take this chorus as we go on. And that song says, "My helper, there is something that makes me to come at your presence." Amen. I want to believe that you are here today, not because you want to be here, but because God wants you to be here. And I want to believe God again that you are not in a mortuary, but you are in a sanctuary. Hello? So it is only those in a mortuary that will look like a cenotaph. But when you are in a sanctuary, you actually have to demonstrate the love of God in your life. You know, when the band of musicians were singing, I was enjoying their music, but I was kind of looking back and I saw how people were standing as if the music is not for them. Somebody said there must be a change. There must be a change. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there must be a change. Praise the Lord. My helper, oh, my helper. My helper, oh, my helper. There is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper. Can we go? My helper, oh, my helper. My helper, oh, my helper. There is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper. Praise God. I want to officially bring you greetings from Nigeria. And when I get to Nigeria, I want to go straight to my local state, Imo State. Also, greetings from my local government, Owerri West, and at the same time, from my own community, Ihiagwa. Amen. I also want to appreciate God, who has made it very possible that we will stand before you today to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to thank God that I'm not here, or you are not knowing me, as a tout along the street. You are not seeing me for the first time in life as a thief or rogue. You are not seeing me for the first time in life as a terrorist. But even if I am a terrorist, I am a terrorist in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's better to be a terrorist in the Lord than to be a terrorist in the world. So once again, I appreciate you. I equally want to appreciate you all on behalf of my community for the past 5 years, Sycamore Church has been a blessing to my community. Through Reverend Dr. Dusty, Gary Strickland, Michael, just mention James and Jonathan, even though Jonathan is not here. In fact, I want to appreciate all your efforts. And I know that they are not there without your support. So for all you have done for them to be there over there in Nigeria, in that particular remote village, I want to say Asante San. God bless you. Appreciating you without making mention of my ambassador, and whom I have equally seen as my linking bridge to this particular community, the Savannah, Georgia, High Chief Doctor and Lolo Kennedy Okerian family. And finally, let me tell you, if he has said, no, Cyril will not come, definitely you will not bring me here. So I know I am here because of his active support. Dr. Kennedy, you're a good ambassador. Keep up. Amen. Praise the Lord. So within this week, I want to believe that there is a purpose why God has brought me to this city. And you will do yourself a favor to making sure that that purpose why I am here is judiciously actualized in your life. Amen. Definitely, if it is to come and view your faces, there are white men over there. And I want to believe I have seen some of you also. So there's no need of traveling miles, sitting in the air without knowing where I'm going. But by faith, I believe I'm going to somewhere. It's like one dreaming a dream. But at the end of it all, I landed somewhere. And I've always prayed, I say, God, if it is your will for me to be in this particular soil, there is a purpose for it. And that purpose of God is for you, is for me. And anything outside that is secondary. So on that note, I want us to go straight to the scripture without wasting time. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, St. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, 1 to 10. It is a very familiar story, but I want to believe that God has something to do in your life, in my life, in that particular passage. And I pray the will of God must surely come to pass. Amen? Amen. And that place says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. But this time around, it is not going to be Jericho. Amen? I think it is going to be better translated as, and Jesus entered and passed through Savannah. And behold, there was a man named, forget about Zacchaeus here, put your name. We want to make the scripture practical. Because I believe that if it is now that the scripture is being written, it is not Zacchaeus that will be there. It may be Dr. Michael Dusty. Amen? Which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree. Not sycamore church now. But we can still say, and he ran to a sycamore church. Amen. For he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, that's you. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide in your house. Amen. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man, by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, and the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. May the reading of the scripture bless your soul this afternoon in the name of Jesus. If I am to address us this morning, under the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to pick my topic as desiring to see Jesus. D-E-S-I-R-I-I-N-G. Desiring to see Jesus. We are all gathered this morning for a purpose. And the purpose why we left our home is to meet with Jesus Christ. Is that not true? It's to meet with Jesus. So here in the context of this passage, Jesus has been moving from one particular village to another with his ministry, with a preaching ministry, healing people, teaching people, and doing all sorts of ministry according to his purpose in life. But on one particular day, he decided to step into the city of Jericho. And there was a man by name Zacchaeus that has known or that has been hearing about Jesus and what he has been doing. And this man, maybe he has been longing for a day he will meet with Jesus Christ. Either to have an interaction with him, or either to see how he can bring Jesus to nothing. Or maybe the influence of Jesus or the fame of Jesus has been going up more than him. And Zacchaeus was thinking, who actually must this man be? And today that I heard that this man is going to my community, I must let go everything I have. I must let go of my business just to look and to see whom this man was. Praise the Lord. But the Bible tells me that when this man had that intention, God's own intention supersedes his own intention. As you are seated here today, what God says in your life, what God says about you, overcomes whatever you are thinking about. God is number one. So the Bible has it. Now Jesus Christ, now this man Zacchaeus, verse 1 and 2 gave us a little background of Zacchaeus. Amen. He was a native of Jericho. He was very short. Not only that he was short, very small in stature. Well, I want to believe that nature deceived him. Amen. When others are huge and tall, he was very short and at the same time very small in stature. But his stature does not matter against his negative character. Now the Bible says that this man, as a businessman, he was a tax collector. Let me tell you, there are two things I prayed in life that my children will not be. One, none of my child will be a tax collector. Two, I am sorry, off camera now. With the contents of the Nigerian police, I equally pray that my child or children, none of them will be a policeman in Nigeria. Hello? Yes. They will not. Because of what they do, which personally is against my ethics and my wish. So Zacchaeus, being a tax collector in the history of the Jews, you're supposed to know the theology of this place now more than my very self. So a tax collector is noted to be a bad business in that context. Why? Because when they're asked to collect $1, they will collect $10. And in that $10, they will not give the government all they have collected. Apart from collecting that $10, they will humiliate you, they will frustrate you, they will do everything. So that business, automatically, anyone doing that business is seen as a total sinner. And which they confirmed even when Jesus met with them. They said, Jesus, is this man truly the Jesus we're talking about, that he is going to the house of a notable sinner? Praise the Lord. Not only that, this man was rich. But let's forget about the makeups of Zacchaeus here. Now, if your name is to be there, what do you think will be written about you? What illustrations will be given about you? Are you equally a tax collector? Or if you are not a tax collector, what business do you do? And in your business, how do you relate well with people? So that's what we're talking about today. And then in all these things, the cardinal point of the issue is that Zacchaeus decided to see Jesus. There is a very big difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. Amen? Sometimes today we know about Jesus, but we don't know Jesus. It's very, very fortunate that Christianity came all the way from the United States to Nigeria. Amen? And sometimes slogans have been going on. And we've always been saying that one day we'll carry back the message of salvation to the Americans. Hallelujah! We will. Because you gave us the power. We acquired the power. And when we acquire this power, at least you will be happy that a child you trained will equally be doing good more than you have been doing.
Amen. Amen. Multiply.
Praise God. So, what am I saying? What actually do people say about you? As a Christian, in your place of work, what do people say about you? And what people say about you matters a lot. Then, at the end of it all, Jesus came to that city for the purpose of changing the life of Zacchaeus. And I want to believe that maybe my purpose of coming to this place is for God to use me to change your situation. I don't want to believe that everything is all well with you. Spiritually, it is not all well with you. Physically, it is not all well with you. Something somewhere must be wrong. And all we are saying, God has a purpose why you ask me to come. Amen. Like I've always said initially, I did not come because I want to see America. No. But I have come that the will of God must surely come to pass. Hello? So don't link me like some Nigerian preachers, you know. I'm different altogether. Amen? Those people you know might be very huge. They may be tall. I'm just like Zacchaeus now. Praise the Lord. So God, after all these things, he now saw Zacchaeus. Because of the desire of Zacchaeus to see Jesus, Zacchaeus did not desire to know Jesus. He only desired to see Jesus. Now, I want to put this question. Are you here as a member of this church or as a friend of this church to see Jesus or to know Jesus? That was why I was happy with your Bible study. More especially when you were talking about what a church is not and what a church is all about. Praise God. So what? Why are you here? Are you here to see Jesus? Or are you here to know Jesus? That question is best for you to answer. Amen. But remember the scripture says, what shall it gain a man if he gains the whole world and loses his word. So, which means God is not even interested in what you acquired in life. What God is interested is your soul. And that is why he says it is appointed unto man to die once and after that judgment. But the soul goes back to the owner. Amen. So Jesus saw Zacchaeus on that sycamore tree. Because of his small in stature, Zacchaeus decided to break every protocol. I equally commended him for taking a bold action and step there. Zacchaeus never wanted anything to distract him from his vision. Even though that vision was wrong, but he never wanted any distraction. And that was why he ran to climb to that sycamore tree, so that he can have a view, an overview about Jesus Christ. But one special miracle happened. When he was there, he never knew that as he was looking to see Jesus, Jesus was equally interested to do what? Get him. Amen. So tell your neighbor today, Jesus is interested in you. Are you hearing me or not? Jesus is interested in you. Amen. So whether you like it or not, I want to believe today you are here because Jesus is interested in you. That is to say, your mentality of worshiping God must tally with the will of God. You don't worship God the way you feel, but the way God wants you to worship him. Are we communicating? You don't worship God the way you want to worship God, but you worship God the way God wants you to worship him. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, come down. Not only come in, I say, come down quickly. It's a command. Come down quickly. Make haste. Make haste to come down. For today I shall abide in your house. What a glory. For Jesus to say unto you today, come down. I want to believe that you are somewhere. There is a place you are climbing. You are in your own sycamore tree. But I don't know your own sycamore tree. Your own sycamore tree may be pleasure of life. Your own sycamore tree may be wealth. You are climbing on the tree of wealth. Your own sycamore tree may be that you are climbing on a well-furnished and prepared environment. But no matter, let me just confess. As soon as I set my foot on this ground, I say, yes, I can now see the difference between Nigeria and America. Amen? I can now see the difference. In fact, since I came, I've never stepped my foot on a soil. Everywhere, very neat. Praise God. We may be climbing on that tree of well-designed environment. But Jesus is saying unto us this afternoon, no matter where you think you are, come down. Amen. You must come down. Are you climbing on a tree of love? Come down from that love and meet with Jesus Christ. Are you climbing on a tree of education? Come down from that tree of education and meet with Jesus Christ. No matter where you are, God says, come down. That is to say, where Zacchaeus was, and he thought he has landed, he thought he has a good intention, to Jesus Christ, it wasn't a good intention. To Jesus Christ, it wasn't a good intention. It is, no matter how good it looks like, it is still against the will of God. But to God be the glory that the power of the Holy Ghost in the life of Jesus Christ touched Zacchaeus and he obeyed immediately. Amen. I want to believe obedience is the first law and commandment concerning heaven. Because in every promises in the scripture, God will equally tell you, if you do this, this will come to you. Even when we say that the gift of Jesus Christ is a free gift, personally, I do not believe it is conditional. Because the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that is the condition attached to it. So it's not a free gift. Amen. That whosoever, that is to say, if you did not, if you refuse to consent to the will of God and Jesus Christ, heaven is not for you. The blood of Jesus Christ has nothing to do concerning your life until you come down. What other lesson can we derive from Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus did not allow culture and tradition to weigh him down. He did not allow his personal condition of life to stop him from seeing Jesus. Zacchaeus decided to break every custom and everything to make sure his intention was well known. Praise Jesus Christ. So, today, having heard about the little of Zacchaeus, I want us to get note of these things. That one, Zacchaeus made a positive confession that brought about positive change in his life. I want to believe that when he was moving with Jesus, maybe Jesus Christ had been speaking to him the word of salvation, the word of change, that he now embraced the world. Even without Jesus forcing him for altar call or for repentance, he now said, excuse me, master. Praise God. I have now realized myself. All the people I have defrauded, I will pay back. Not only that I will pay back in four folds. Half of my wealth, which means, those things he equally acquired wrongly, he will go back and give it to the poor. Because he may not know those people he has frauded that time. He said, I will go and give it back to the poor. Amen. And after his confession, Jesus now opened his eyes and he said, today salvation has come into your house. For you yourself, you were once, or you are a covenant child. You know, many of us here do not even know that we are covenant children. We are covenant children. But some of us have succeeded in breaking the covenant between us and God. But if we will allow God to amend your ways today, that covenant that has been broken, the Lord will renew it. Amen. So I want to challenge us by saying, don't allow culture and tradition to stand on your way to Jesus Christ. You don't. Don't ever allow anything to stand on your way. Two, know Jesus in your life, not only religious worship of God. If we really adhere to the teaching of our senior pastor this morning, when he was talking about what the church is all about, I think if we embrace that teaching, something good will begin to happen. Praise the Lord. The next point I want you to understand is that confess your sins and forget about the crowd. Confess your sins and forget about the crowd. You don't allow anything to go in your life. You must be yourself. Be the person God created in your life. Live your life according to the pattern God expected of you. In fact, in Exodus chapter 25, when God was about to build the tabernacle and the sanctuary, he sought for Moses and gave Moses the vision. And in verse number 9 and 10 of that particular passage, it says, Moses, even though I have given you the architectural design of this temple and the sanctuary, make sure you don't deviate according to the pattern. Praise the Lord. Our God is always a God of pattern. He has ordered everything the way it should go. You cannot live your life the way you want to live it if truly you are a child of God. Except if we are not Christians, except if we are practicing religion, except if we are playing church. But if indeed we are not playing church, if we are playing Christianity, we must walk our ways to meet up with the standard God has prayed for it. But do not call to mind the former things today, for God will do something new in your life. Amen. You must take Jesus to your home for true deliverance and liberation. When Zacchaeus allowed himself to walk with Jesus, when Jesus said, come down, today I shall be with you in your house. And when Zacchaeus consented, they were moving. And when they now get to the house, Jesus said, today salvation has come into this house. That is to say, Zacchaeus, in all the years of his goodies, he has been a hindrance to the light of God in his family. He has been an obstacle to his family. He has been a witch and wizard in his family, without even knowing that his sinful life has been creating problems into that particular family. Not until the time he came totally to God that Jesus now declared, today salvation has come into your home. How many of us today would decide to take Jesus to our various homes? Amen. How many of us would decide to take Jesus into our home? We used to sing a song that says, when Jesus in the family, happy, happy home, happy, happy home, happy, happy home. When Jesus in the family, happy, happy home, happy, happy home. When Satan in the family, trouble, trouble home. Husband and wife will begin to bully themselves. When Satan is in the home, a child or children will never recognize their parents, neither fearing them. Business and everything will be crushing down because Satan is in control. Remember, the devil cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, where is the wisdom of men that Jesus came to destroy us? Satan came to destroy us, and Jesus came to give us life. Yet, men of wisdom, men of intelligence, academicians still decided to choose Satan. I don't know. Does that make sense in our lives? We need to retreat back and say, God, here am I today. Do something in my life. Praise God. God is still looking for you. But the question, will you allow yourself to be found by Jesus? Amen. God is still interested in you. God is still crying, what shall I do to redeem my son? What shall I do to redeem this family? But the problem is that the people God is thinking good for are not even interested in the plan of God for them. But I want to believe that as I'm seeing beautiful faces today, not because of your color, I want to believe that the light of God is radiating and that you will allow the hand of God to touch you. Amen. So, beloved, you must obey the attached condition for your healing, salvation, and deliverance. Now, for example, for me to be here, it took me many days of planning. For me to be here, it caused me to endure for humiliations. Hello? Even at the Nigerian embassy, I have to humble myself even to someone I know I can keep in the house, feed him or her, train her. But for the purpose that I have a focus of coming to Savannah, I decided to allow myself to be humiliated. Hello? On that note again, having gotten the visa, coming to the custom man, I equally accepted reasonable and unreasonable questions. Of course, without coming to this place, or without a vision of coming to this place, such questions will not come to me. No wonder Paul says, for the sake of knowing Christ, for the sake of knowing Christ, the power of his word, resurrection, and the suffering of his fellowship, I decided to do what? Oh God. For the sake of knowing Christ, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, all that I was, all that I am, I counted to be useless. Because he has a focus. Now, I was thinking, when I was in the plane, I said, if Christians will consent to the laws of God, if actually we are interested, if actually we are embracing Jesus Christ, what it needs us is to obey the laws of God in order to meet God in heaven. Amen. Whether we like it or not, here is not heaven. And heaven is not on this earth. Heaven is still over there. Amen. Heaven is still over there. And how many of us are preparing for it? And that is why I said, you must obey the attached condition for your healing, for your salvation, and for your deliverance. You must. There is nothing that is too much for Zacchaeus to leave his post, to leave his position, to leave his honor, to leave his honor, and say, for the sake of Jesus Christ, let me leave my business today. Let me climb on this sycamore tree so that my stature will not hinder me. You know, before he could arrive to that crusade ground, heavy men like Dr. Dusty has, you know, that he would. So, what he has to do is to go on top. Praise God. But Jesus is telling you today, if you are desiring to see me, you must come down from where you are. If you are desiring to see, to know whom I am, if you are desiring to know me as your personal Lord and Savior, you must let go certain things in the world. If possible, all the things. You must. So, beloved, obey the heavenly rules for your salvation. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide in your house. For today I must abide in your house. That is the call of Jesus unto you today. That is the advice of the Holy Ghost to you. But I want to believe under this auditorium this morning that there is a Zacchaeus here. This Zacchaeus may be one, this Zacchaeus may be two, maybe three, maybe four, five, six, or seven. But inasmuch as the Zacchaeus of that day did not miss his day of salvation, did not miss his flight, the Zacchaeus here this morning must not miss his day. Amen. The Zacchaeus here this morning, the owner of this message here this morning, must not miss today. All of you faced this way, and nobody knows what is happening at his back. Hello? I think that was one of the illustrations you gave when you came to Nigeria. Amen? Nobody knows what is happening at the back. And that is how tomorrow is. Nobody knows what will happen tomorrow. Nobody knows what will happen 2 minutes from now. In my church, I want to end with this story. In Ihiagwa, where you preach the gospel, about 1987, one pastor, Izudike, came for a church revival. And at the close of that revival, Pastor Izudike was praying and saying that there is a man here today that the Holy Ghost is revealing to me that from Imo State he'll be traveling to Onitsha, that is Anambra State. Or let's say from Savannah to where is the next town here? All right, let's say from Savannah to Atlanta. Yeah. And that from Savannah to Atlanta, the enemy has set up a trap. He said, this man, you are here. You can come out. Let's pray together. And that day we were singing, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Everybody in the church was jumping up and down with that song. Yet, the owner of that prophecy decided not to consent. The Spirit of the Lord revealed to this man again, and he said, there is another one that does quarry business. The enemy has equally set a death trap for you. That as soon as you go to the stream today to excavate, you will die. But the one that's supposed to travel from Owerri to Onitsha came out, and he was prayed for, and nothing happened to him. But the one who was to die or who was to be drowned in the sea refused. And he thought that the word of a man of God is nothing. And the following day, the news came. Around 9 a.m. in the following morning, the news came. And unfortunately, the name of this young boy was Tough. Good. And he died. And the news escalated in the village. Hey, you see, the preacher was lamenting this last night. Oh, God, death, Satan. What has Satan done? Satan has done nothing. Because God revealed the secret things to his people. And we refuse to consent. God will back up. And the devil will take over. So I wouldn't want the devil to take over the life of anyone here this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we rise up? If you are here this morning, no matter what you think you are, and you know that you don't have a right relationship with God, I want to tell you, anything you are in this world without having a cordial relationship with God is vanity upon vanity. If you like, be the Obama of the United States without Christ, your Obamanism is nothing. Hello? If you like, be the president of the United States without Christ, your presidency, that seat makes nothing. If you like, own the whole Savannah. Without Christ, one day God will tell you, leave Savannah, go. The earth belongs to God. We are all strangers. And all you have to do here is to prepare yourself for another greater home. And that is heaven. So how many of us this afternoon is ready to say, God, here I am. Timothy was at the age of 13 when he accepted the word of God. Praise God. Just the age of 13. So to me, age is never a barrier. Hallelujah. Because if you can wait till when you become an adult to accept Jesus Christ, do you wait till when you become an adult to commit the sins you are committing? Huh? If you wait, or if you want to wait when you become an adult to accept Jesus Christ, do you wait till when you become an adult in committing the sins you are committing? No. So if you can commit sin at the tender age of your life, you can equally accept Jesus Christ at the tender age of your life. Let us pray. You are here and you know of a truth. You are not right with God. Can you just raise up your hand and let's pray together? You want to make a decision? You want to say, God, forgive me. I have sinned against heaven and before you. Like the prodigal son did it that fateful day. He said, God, I am not worthy to be called your son. I am not even worthy to be one of your servants, but have mercy upon me. And the mercy of God is waiting for someone this morning. You are here. You know yourself. You know yourself. Just raise up your hand. That is the best thing you can do to yourself this morning. That is the best thing you can do to yourself throughout this year. Because the scripture finally said unto me, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. In Jesus' name. Precious Father, we give you praise. We honor you. We adore you because you are God. I want to believe, oh God, you have passed through this city today. And under the auditorium of Sycamore Church, you are here this afternoon. And I want to believe, God, that you know each and every one of us seated today, including me, preaching the gospel. Lord, I want to plead with you. Is there any one of us under this auditorium today that has not known you, Lord? Anyone right now that their heart is melting? Anyone right now that is saying this message is for me? God, touch that soul in the name of Jesus. Touch that particular person in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we are here today for your sake. And we pray that this service will never be in vain. That your purpose of our meeting today must surely come to pass. No weapon, no satanic strategy of any kind. Every altar, every priest speaking against our salvation, Lord, we ask that the blood of Jesus Christ will contradict them in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, this is a new week. We cannot live this week without you. We are committing our lives unto your hand this week. We are committing our movement into your care this week. Our food and everything this week we commit into your care. Father, this week we pray we will never end our life on a highway. This week, oh God, the devil will never take control of our family. We pray this week, oh God, that we shall return praises and adoration unto you at the end of this week, because you have wonderfully seen us through. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you for the children here. Thank you for the youths. Thank you for the adults. Thank you for the church workers. Thank you for the pastors and the senior pastor of this church. Thank you, O God, for everything concerning this church that is in your hand. We pray that this week we shall sing your glory. We shall sing your honor. We shall sing your favor in the name of Jesus. Father, is there anyone here today that the enemy has written off? And God, we pray that your authority will overcome the will of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Blessed Redeemer, have your way in our lives. Blessed Redeemer, have your way in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords, thank you. From here, O God, I pray, lead your people well. In our businesses of this week, O God, may we find favor in your hand. Anything right now that is standing as a big tree before anyone here, that is standing tall against anyone here, Lord, we pray that you release your spiritual bulldozer to bulldoze every satanic powers and manipulation on our way. Thank you because you are the Lord. We are standing on that solid rock, Jesus Christ, declaring this afternoon that no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against us this week stands condemned in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray that this word has not come in vain. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.
You can ask Jesus to come into your life and he'll save you. He'll make you a new person. And maybe you're weighted down today. The things that Brother C.Y. was talking about, just weighting you down, the world. Maybe it's time that you let Jesus take that weight. We open the altar now. Come, come, come and pray. This is your time. This is your time to receive the Lord. This is your time to hear the Lord do his work in your life today, right now. Thank you. Fire of your
with the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, let it fall on me. Change me into someone just like you.
Look this way, if you will. Since the first Sunday of this new year, the Lord has been stirring us, and He continues to stir us as we pray. As we pray. We're calling you to prayer every Thursday. And when we invited Brother C.Y. to come, we didn't know when he would be coming. And at first I thought, well, we're in the middle of this. I wanted to compartmentalize everything. And several weeks ago, the Lord showed me, said, this is exactly why CY is coming, for such a time as this. I know the Lord has spoken to you through him today. It's always our custom to pray for those who come, who are ministers of the gospel. So, C.Y., would you come back up here, please? Brother Dane, Brother Rick, if you'd come over here, please. It is a custom in our congregation, and we've done this for years now. Any minister of the gospel that comes through here, we pray for them. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to anoint you here in America.
God.
Amen. And you have blessed us today as you have preached the Word of God today. And we have heard from the Lord today. Now, I know you're going to be here for several weeks, but we want to begin in this way. So, Dane, if you and Rick would lay hands on CY right now. Amen. I anoint you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for your calling on this man. Lord, what you have done in his life in the past. Lord, you snatched him out. Lord, you have done wonderful things. Your call has been upon his life. Lord, you have anointed him to preach the gospel. And now, Lord, as he has come to this country, I thank you that you have spoken through him today. And Lord, as we come in agreement with the Holy Spirit today, agreement as we anoint him with the power of the Holy Spirit, come, Lord, come upon him in power with your presence and make of this time, Lord, this time that he has in this country, Lord, make this time the best, Lord, your best, as he spoke it, Lord, as he spoke your word for your purpose while he is here. We bless you and thank you. Lord, stir up the gifts in him. Lord, I'm praying that you'll give to him more than he could ever imagine. Lord, exceeding abundantly more than he could ask or think. And it is in Yeshua's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Amen. And we'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring to the Lord, we'll do that right now. There's a basket in the back, and the basket's up here as we wait upon you. I send you out in the name and the power of the Holy Spirit, under the authority of God the Father, Yahweh, and with the love of Jesus Christ, His Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. One other thing before you go. We've got a special couple of guests right over here. You come right out here. The Martins are back with us. They've been in a Babylonian captivity up in Virginia, and they've come to the promised land for a brief visit. We're sure glad y'all are here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So make sure you hug them before they leave, okay? God bless.
Y'all wouldn't let us have it any other way.
Amen.
We've enjoyed it.
Amen. God bless y'all.